Good afternoon, everybody. Today I'm going to share with you some work that I did to sort of tease out the relationship between oral sexual behavior and oral HPV that we've all been hearing about a lot lately. So the title of the presentation is The Association Between Different Types of Oral Sexual Behavior and Oral HPV in College Women. Are all oral sexual behaviors equal? So just to give you a little background on oral HPV, it is strongly linked to head and neck cancer, especially of the oral pharynx. And in the past 20 years or so, we've seen about a 55% increase in oral pharyngeal cancer that is actually caused by oral HPV. Oral HPV is much less prevalent than genital HPV, but it is still prevalent among 7% of the population aged 14 to 69 years. And there are different types of oral HPV, as we know, and there's a subtype that is associated with the cancer outcomes. And of those, of that type, the population between 14 to 69 years is affected at 3.7% in that population. It is also less common in women than men. So the risk factors that we know of for oral HPV include tobacco use, alcohol use, and sexual behavior. What we see in the literature is that as the number of sexual behavior, including vaginal sexual behavior and oral sexual partners, as it increases, so too does the risk for oral HPV. But what we don't quite know yet is if particular types of oral sex are associated more significantly with oral HPV. And we also don't know if, unclear if HPV can be transferred from one anatomical site to the next. So we don't quite know if that transfer can happen, and thus if self-inoculation or auto-inoculation can also occur. There is some evidence, however, that this might be happening. Women with genital HPV are much higher, have much higher risk for oral HPV. And there is very high concordance between HPV type of a female genitals and a male partner's hand. So there is some evidence to suggest that transfer can occur. So the questions then for this particular project are, do different types of direct oral sexual behavior confer different risk for oral HPV? And so when I say direct oral sexual behavior, I'm talking about a few different things. One is open mouth kissing, oral penile, oral vaginal, and oral anal sex. And the second question is, does indirect oral sexual behavior increase risk for oral HPV? And for our project, indirect oral sexual behavior was really this concept of self-inoculation, which I will describe in a couple minutes. So we conducted a cross-sectional study at a large public university campus in 2011. We enrolled over 1,000 female students in or around the Student Healthcare Center at the time of recruitment, which sort of allowed students to inquire about the study as they were passing through. And we had them fill out a brief questionnaire and also give us an oral rinse specimen that was tested for oral HPV using PCR. The analysis for this project utilized a manual stepwise logistic regression, which we'll talk about a little bit further. So now we need to talk about the measures. We're talking about specific types of oral sexual behavior. So these were the questions to assess the direct oral sexual behavior. The first question here is getting at how many, the number of open mouth kissing partners, both lifetime and past year. The second question is getting at the oral penile oral sex. The third question is asking about oral vaginal sex. And the fourth question is asking about oral anal sex. And this is all lifetime and past year number of partners. For the indirect oral sexual behavior, the questions that were asked or that were used to assess this were, has a hand, yours or someone else's, touched your genitals, then put the hand or fingers in your mouth? And we also asked, have you ever put your mouth on a sex toy after it touched your genitals? So if the respondent said yes to either one of these, they were coded yes on our composite variable of self-inoculation. So here are some characteristics of our sample. It was pretty well racially distributed, with 50% being white or Caucasian, 15% being African American or Black, 14% being Hispanic, and 10% being Asian, and 10% being other race. The age distribution, it was a pretty young sample. The mean age was 22, but you can see here about 2/3 of the sample was aged between 18 to 21, so the college sample is fairly young. 2% of the sample did test positive for any oral HPV of any type. And of the oral sexual behavior, you'll see here on the far, on the left table, is the lifetime and past year percentages of kissing partners, oral penile partners, and then oral, anal, and oral vaginal. Had to be dichotomized because it was just a very low engagement in those two behaviors. But basically, just to highlight the upper range of the behaviors, 56% of the sample had over five partners. And then that's lifetime. And then for the oral penile, about 15% of the sample said that they had over five partners for oral penile. And then 5.3% had engaged in oral anal in their life, and 6.4% had engaged in oral vaginal in their life. And on the far right, we see the self-inoculation variables. And 16% of the sample had said that they had ever engaged in one of these types of self-inoculation. And it did show up that hand transfer was more common than sex toy transfer. Now here are the bivariate associations between these oral sex behaviors and oral HPV. On the horizontal axis, you will see the different types of oral sexual behavior. And on the vertical axis, you'll see the percentage of those, or the percent of positive oral HPV. And on the far right, you'll see the categories of number of partners. So the white bar indicates no partners. The light blue bar indicates 1 to 2 partners. The dark blue bar is 3 to 5. And then the orange bar is over 5. So what we see here with lifetime and past year oral penile partners is sort of a dose response. So as the number of partners increase, so too does the percentage of oral HPV. And then for, you sort of see the same story for past year kissing partners. But for lifetime kissing partners, the relationship is a little less clear. But I want to note that all of these bivariate associations are statistically significant at a p-value of less than 0.05. Here is sort of the same type of graph, only it's for the dichotomous variables. And what you see here is that we got a result that was sort of counterintuitive to what we thought we would find, in that those who did not engage in oral vaginal or oral anal had higher rates of HPV, oral HPV. But it's important to note that these were not statistically significant findings. But when you look on the far right, you'll see self-inoculation is very statistically significantly associated to oral HPV. Those who had said that they had ever engaged in some kind of self-inoculation behavior, they had 6% rate of oral HPV compared to 1.2% of those who said they had never engaged in either of those behaviors. And this is very significant at p-value of less than 0.001. So this is the result for the manual stepwise logistic regression. I just want to highlight that any of the variables that were significant in the bivariate association were put in the model, and they were taken out stepwise if they had a p-value of over 0.25. And then each time that we took out a variable, we assessed the change in chi-square to make sure that it wasn't impacting the model greatly. And so what we actually ended up with were three variables that met that cutoff, with only self-inoculation being statistically significant. So here we see that self-inoculation was associated with a 3.7 times higher odds ratio for oral HPV. And this is controlling for smoking and alcohol use, which are both risk factors for oral HPV. I also want to note that, it's reasonable to think that the direct oral sexual behaviors are very correlated with the self-inoculation behaviors. So what we did later was we did a case control analysis to make sure that we were really seeing the true relationship here, because the direct oral sexual behavior sort of fell out when we were doing the manual stepwise logistic regression. So what we did was we matched each case with three controls. We matched them on alcohol use, smoking, and number of lifetime oral sexual partners. And when we did that, we found the same association, and actually the odds ratio was higher, it was over 4, and the significance level was 0.02. So it seems to be that this variable could be pretty important. So just to reiterate, in the bivariate association, we found that number of kissing and oral penile sexual partners were the only significant direct oral sexual behaviors. And self-inoculation seems to be pretty associated with oral HPV infection. And it may be even a stronger risk factor than smoking, alcohol use, and direct oral sexual behavior. But at least we know that it's just as important as these other variables that have shown to be risk factors. So there are limitations to the study. There was a very low rate of oral HPV in the sample, and it's actually lower than what we had expected. And so it gave us limited power to detect some of the oral sex type differences. It is important to note that people who tested negatively for oral HPV may have been infected, but just not shedding the infection. We're not certain quite yet if oral HPV has intermittent shedding, but it could. And so those who, I don't know what happened to the mic. There we go. Those who tested negative could actually still have been infected, so there could be some risk to misclassification. Also, this was a single site investigation, so it may not be generalizable to all young women, and especially since it's a college sample, so we can already assume that they have higher educational attainment and possibly lower sexual risk-taking. It's a cross-sectional study, so we can't really infer causality. And the measures were self-reported, so it's subject to report bias and recall bias. And we also only had lifetime measurement for self-inoculation. A past year measurement of self-inoculation would have been ideal. And also, it would have been great if we could have tested for genital infection, since it does seem to be a risk factor for oral HPV infection. So for future direction, we obviously need to confirm these findings in other samples, especially in more diverse samples with large age range and range of education, range of sexual risk-taking that is more generalizable to the general population. But we also just need to ask about these really sensitive, awkward questions about oral sexual behavior and the possible behaviors of self-inoculation that don't typically get measured in this type of research. I'm guessing we might have time for questions. Yes.
So this made me think when I was
That's a good question. So there's no scale, right, available to assess specific types of oral sex, and definitely not of self-inoculation. And these are very, very sensitive questions. So what we did is we created them and we pilot tested them, both in sort of our colleague group and then a small pilot test of some students as well. And from that, you know, we were able to assess if we were, you know, using the right language, if people really understood what we were asking. So, you know, it's not a gold standard for sure, but we did pilot test to make sure that we were asking appropriate questions. For the self-inoculation, yes, we did ask a question that we weren't quite sure we could categorize as self-inoculation, and that was something along the lines of, have you ever kissed a partner directly after they had performed oral sex on you? And we weren't quite sure how to categorize it because it wasn't like they transferred it themselves, if that makes sense. But other than that, that was all that we had asked. Yeah.
Can you remind me, are the strains of HPV that we know that cause, most likely cause cervical cancer, are those the same things that are found to be the causal agents of oral cancer?
Yes, actually, they're pretty much exactly correlated to the cervical cancer types. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was any HPV type. So it's the same concept. We just don't know if that is actually happening. But I wanted to mention it as a limitation because that could be what happened. So we for this project I included any type of HPV. But we did test four specific types, and very, very few had the subtypes that were associated with the cancer outcomes. But what we did was we took the people who tested positive for any HPV, and we did a follow-up test. And it turned out that most of them didn't have it at the second time. We also took a subgroup of people who didn't have the positive test the first time, and I think 3 of the 10 ended up having a positive test with the follow-up. So there is some reason to believe that there could be intermittent shedding, or maybe those people who didn't have it the first time but had it during follow-up, maybe they were incident cases, but since most of the people who had it the first time showed up negative the second time, it does seem to suggest that there could be intermittent shedding in the blue scarf or green. No, it's just one of those measure defaults, you know. It's such a sensitive question. I think that we just missed the timing, maybe. Yes, ma'am.
When you think about the method of administration for the questionnaire, you also have to think about that. So did you do self-administered questionnaires, or was it more of an interview-based?
No, good question. It is a self-administered. It was actually an electronic. It was through SurveyMonkey, and so no interview. And there is research that shows that the computerized surveys can be quite good for very sensitive questions because people don't feel like they're being judged. They feel like they can be more honest with their answers. Any biological mechanism? I mean, the only mechanism I can think of is just the transfer, like the actual transfer from the genitals to the mouth directly. Other than that, I'd love to hear some other theories. I mean, it is certainly correlated with number of oral sexual partners, but since we did that case control, it seems like it's still a pretty specific, significant variable that we should sort of look into a bit more. Did you have one? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did ask about if they had ever had an HPV vaccine, if they had completed, like how many doses they actually completed. I didn't focus on it for this project because they had tested positive. So it would have taken a different direction, I think. Is that all? Thank you very much.